Welcome back to another broadcast of the Word for Life radio program. With me in the studio is the co-host of the broadcast, Dr. Les Olala, Chancellor of Northern Baptist Bible College. Doc, we are right at the end of a fascinating series that we are calling The Worth of Wisdom. And we have, to help us close out the series, a guest host who has been with us for the entire series, Evangelist Kevin Brownfield. As we get into our discussion today, we have been talking about the indispensable elements that have to be a part of our life as we get into attempting to lay out a year that will be profitable for the Lord. And we noted that the first of those was love. And in our series of broadcasts on the worth of wisdom, we have been talking about the second of those elements, wisdom. And all of these broadcasts in both series are at our website, www.thewordforlife.org. But, Doc, we have been looking at probably the premier example in the Bible of a person who got wisdom from God, Solomon. We noted the primacy of wisdom, and we spent a broadcast talking about the sources of wisdom. Where do you go to get this? And noted that Solomon got this wisdom, that God did give it to him. But it's interesting to me, as we close our series, that the same person that God uses to talk to us about how to get wisdom is the person God set up as an example for us about how to lose it. Because something came along and spoiled Solomon, stole away his wisdom from a practical basis. And we find a man who started out pursuing God with his whole heart, and at the end, the last verse in the Bible that we have about Solomon's life is that the Lord was angry with him. I think it would be profitable in our final broadcast to talk a little bit about how do we lose wisdom? How does Satan spoil our own wisdom that we get from the Word?
Well, in Solomon's case, it was disobedience. You remember when we talked about the fear of the Lord at the beginning of wisdom, and we said the fear of the Lord has three sides when you look at it: the awe of his character, the obedience of his word, and the fear of his wrath. I don't think he ever lost the awe of God's character. He did lose the obedience to his revealed word. God says, don't multiply horses and don't get women. Because the horses will give you a false confidence. The women are going to turn your heart to other gods. He clearly disobeyed in both counts. Don't multiply horses. You can go to Israel today and you still are toured through Solomon's stables. And then 700 wives and 300 combines, as one guy said, that's a big farm by anybody's standards. And I mean, when he disobeyed big. And Ecclesiastes 2:16 says, I hated life, Solomon's own testimony, where he went from joy and happiness to a hating of his very existence, because disobedience is the consequence. And in Solomon's case, it was clearly disobedience. In some cases, it's deceit. We've seen the supremacy, we've seen the sources. Now, how is wisdom lost and spoiled? And read Colossians chapter 2, verse 8, and give us a little bit of a background of the Colossian setting there.
You have Paul writing a letter to a group of people who were in a very difficult place. You know, as you like to say, they were in that Lycus Valley, rich, very well educated, very sophisticated, and certainly they were the hub of all kinds of ideas and all kinds of things going on. And Paul is very concerned as he comes into their midst through this letter that they're going to lose the primacy of Christ, that something is going to come and steal away and disarm them. That's what the word spoil means, to take away their arms, to take away their effectiveness. And so here's what he says in verse 8, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in him, or in Christ, dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in him, who is the head of all principality and power.
So we find Paul saying, beware. Solomon is an example of beware. Mm-hmm. He had it all. He saw it all. He experienced everything that God said he would experience. But his disobedience is a great big beware sign for us. Beware.
What's interesting to me as I'm hearing you say that is I'm thinking not only did Paul say beware, but Solomon said beware. He said, guard your heart with all diligence. Keep it. This is something that Solomon obviously understood and knew, but there came a point in time when he stopped doing that guarding of his own heart.
Out of it are the issues of life. Mm. Keep thine heart with all diligence. And when we do our study in Ecclesiastes, we're going to see Solomon's uncapping the very things that caused him to go to a final conclusion. What really does life mean? What a lesson that is going to be for all of us. I think there are three things that disarm us, and one is philosophy. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy. That's a love of wisdom. Phileo,
yeah.
And Sophia, my mom's name is Sophie, wisdom. What was Paul doing? Who were they dealing with in the Colossian church? What was his beware? What group of people?
Well, in this case, it was a group of Jews that were trying to come along and get them to buy into Jewish traditions. And then there was a whole other group, this was even greater, of Gnostics that were coming to try to buy them into what was called secret wisdom or mysteries.
Do we see that today at all?
Oh, my. All you have to do is go down to Barnes & Noble's and look on their religion shelf, and you will find all kinds of mysteries that, boy, if you just buy into the whole cabal, I mean, you've just got everywhere. You know, everybody's got a secret way to God.
But a lot of believers are getting carried away into these very things, and they're being disarmed. One of the big dangers is in education circles. We're very aware of this. We are in education.
Oh, yeah.
I always amuse at the mentality of people just boasting in the fact the world likes us now.
We have to have their approval. We have to have their... You know, their
little by little, we're going to have our armor taken from us. We'll have the sword gradually taken out of our hands.
Yeah.
For what? A bowl of soup the world is laying out before us. And we have to be careful about every choice. They say, no, we can have both. No, you can't. That's either God's absolute truth or it is not God's absolute truth.
Yeah, you just lay your sword on the table. They're not even taking it away from us. We're giving it to them.
I'll lay the sword down for your acceptance. The thinking of the world is so subtle. And I am so pride-driven that I don't think I'll ever get old enough to outgrow the fact I would like to be liked. You know, I mean, I'm not all that liked. So I haven't really succeeded at this. But the temptation is always there. I don't want to be perceived as a dunderhead. And if believing God's absolute truth lets me be perceived as a dunderhead, then I can live with that.
You know, it's really interesting as you say that, because of recent, there have been some very prominent people, religious people in the news media, and they get asked some difficult questions. And sometimes the answers are a little less than confrontational, and almost seems like there's a desire to be liked.
We're willing to talk about the positive side of the gospel. But when somebody asks us, well, if I don't believe that, am I going to hell? We stop short of saying, absolutely.
Mm.
Some years ago, and Doc, you'll remember this, I was invited on a talk show because nobody else wanted to go on. That's the reason I got invited, because I was dumb enough to go on. This was when John Paul II died. You remember when Pope John Paul II died? And nobody in evangelical circles wanted to get on this man's broadcast to talk about that because they knew they were going to get the question, did the Pope go to heaven? And I remember thinking about that. And I mean, when that talk show came and I was asked that question, I simply answered, well, you either have to go with John Paul's life or you have to go with the Apostle Paul's testimony of what the gospel is. And if we believe Paul and John Paul believed what he said he believed, then the answer is clear. I mean, Paul said, if anybody comes and preaches another gospel, let him be anathema. And boy, when that thing hit the airwaves, it was like the phone started lighting. I mean, I had a very interesting half hour trying to just answer those questions. But this is exactly what you're saying, Doc. You know, it's our pride that forces us to be pursuing this philosophy that you're talking about that spoils us.
We do not want to be ill-perceived, which is our next point. Philosophy will disarm us from wisdom. Secondly, pride will. Proverbs 11:2, with the lowly is wisdom.
Mm.
We get very proud and self-exalting, and we don't need to park there, except jot down, if you're taking notes, Ezekiel 16:14. This was the sin of thy sister Sodom. Pride, plenty, pleasure, and then perversion. It was not perversion that put Sodom and Gomorrah under. It was first pride. Pride led to plenty, which led to pleasure, which led eventually to perversion.
If that isn't a picture of our country today, I don't know what is.
But it starts with me being my own God. Mm-hmm. I will not be told how to live. I will not be told what to do. And then the third thing is priority. I am spoiled of wisdom. because philosophy turns me aside, because pride turns me aside, and because priority is messed up in my life. You cannot serve God and mammon. We cannot have two masters.
Now, park on that for a minute, Doc. Explain to us what that means.
Well, when you study the instruction of Matthew chapter 6, he is giving the things that really count in life.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want to invest in that which is going to rust, that which will rot,
right,
that which can be stolen from us. And he said, the sparrow doesn't fall to the ground unnoticed by our Heavenly Father. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And so when we don't put that as the number one priority, the priority is turned aside. So we think that we can actually have what we want and also have Jesus added to our bag as well.
Yeah.
We heard recently on a TV broadcast someone being interviewed, you know, give Jesus a try for a month. Well, what kind of a humbug is that? You know what I mean?
Right.
Give Jesus a try for a month. You talk about a false gospel, and we have to be so careful. He is all and all. In fact, the Colossians passage, what does it say? In him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. So I say, Jesus, I'm going to give you got a month to work with me. And then if you don't pull it off, see you later.
Boy, that is pretty arrogant.
That is, you don't try Jesus, it's only Jesus.
It is ignorant and it is arrogance because we get so turned aside. Mm. But what happens, even with believers who really want God's mind and want God's will, they struggle with priority. So why do they never become wise? Because they have other gods that they are trying to.
And sometimes those gods sit in the parking lots, in the driveways or in the garages of their home, as you've said before.
And we get so comfortable. I think our country is going to be in a state where this is going to be less and less true of believers, and lines are going to be clearly drawn.
Well, Doc, this has been a fascinating series, and I trust as you've been hearing the broadcasts on the Worth of Wisdom that the Lord has done in your heart what he's been doing in mine as I've been sitting here gleaning from Kevin and from Doc O, and just asking the Lord to help me learn how to develop wisdom in my life. That, Lord, we would just be the kind of people that would be like Solomon said we should be at the end of Ecclesiastes. Remember at the end of Ecclesiastes, he said, this is the whole duty of man. Fear God and keep his commandments. Mm-hmm. And if we would just do that this year, what a year we would have.
Amen.
Well, you can download today's broadcast at our website, www.thewordforlife.org. Just look under the series, The Worth of Wisdom, and you'll find there all of the other series that we have done on the broadcast, and we hope that these will be a blessing to you. Until the next time that we're together, may the Lord bless you.